हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 113. Sutra 2136. Also, it is found in the Smritis, quote, this jnani loves only me, and I love only him. I am equal to all beings. I do not hate anyone, nor do I favor anyone, but those who worship me with devotion are in me, and I am them. And I am in them. If the most sinful person worships me with no other desire than to please me, I still consider that person to be my devotee, since he has fixed himself completely in me. Very quickly he becomes a righteous person and becomes completely devoid of contamination. O son of Kunti, you should declare it to all that my devotee never perishes. Bhagavad Gita 7:17 and 9:29-31. Yes, so there's a point. They worship him, then he reciprocates that. Right? So there's no. So he's always... It's suitable that he does, because what we're looking at is that if somebody expects from the Lord favors that aren't actually beneficial, and someone else is dealing in a way that is beneficial, right? So the Lord reciprocates the non-beneficial with things that don't work out so well, and the person who does things that are beneficial, that they work out well. No one can complain that that's not equal. Means you get what effort you put in the area you put it in, that's what you get it back from. So therefore it will look that the devotees it's going very nicely, and for others it may not be. But that's the point is that's suitable. Right? And we see the difference here is that all the living entities, whatever it is, he then deals. But why would we even consider he's favoring? Because he'll deal as Bhagavan with the devotees, but he'll only deal in the Brahman and Paramatma level with everybody else. So that's actually the only place where you say, when you say he's equal to everyone, means he reciprocates in the area, but he's favorable to the devotees, that's because he deals as Bhagavan. Right? Yes.
So Maharaj, can we say that he deals as Bhagavan, but through Paramatma and Brahman teachers with the devotees? Because he's a person, but then still he gives.
Yes, the but as his personal attention is there. Otherwise, then Maya knows what to do. So he doesn't have to be involved. He gives the sanction, but it's authorized that when people do this, that's what you do. And so he's there, he's trying to, but he's only dealing with you on the officially. Right. It would be just like, let's say you go to some government officer. Yeah. Or, you know, any like that. So, and he'll, if he's, you know, doing his job nicely, whoever comes in, he'll deal with appropriately. They'll get, if they behave right, they do the right things that they're supposed to do or requirements, then they get the work they're looking for.
Snake.
There's a big poisonous snake in there.
Big snake.
Huh. In where?
In the basket.
Oh. Jai. You sure it's a poisonous snake? It's not a Jaldar?
Yeah.
Oh, they get excited on any snake. As long as it's a snake and they can beat it, they don't care. Like that. I remember once they were doing the mud cutting, and that and a non-poisonous snake came by, and they were going to go beat it. And I said, why are you doing that? He says, it's a snake. He says, no, but it's not poisonous. You beat poisonous snakes. No, we just beat snakes. Like that, yeah. So. Snakes in the wrong neighborhood. Right? We don't like your kind around here. Yeah. So,
it's like a reciprocation.
Yes, yes, reciprocation. Yeah. Because you have big fat ones that are Jaldaras. That's what I'm saying. These guys don't care.
Told me the name, but I just don't remember. It looks beautiful. It's really beautiful. It's
huh? What color? Was it shiny?
Shiny was the design, black design, but the body is kind of, you know, like mustard.
Oh, so it might be a what do you call it? It's just brown. It's probably maybe a kind of cobra. There's different kinds of cobras, they all have different names. So there's white ones, gray ones, and brown ones.
Those are poisonous ones.
Yeah, those ones are. But Jaldaras are also, and Darash, they're huge. They're like this fat and, you know, like from the fan to here. But they're not poisonous. They'll bite if you, you know, harass them. But. Okay. Okay, so... So, therefore, you do the right things, he'll deal with it. You don't deal properly, then he'll, you know, be reluctant to do whatever it is. You don't get what you're looking for, right? And so then when, but those who, let's say, are friends or like that, then they'll deal in a different way. It's kind of, in other words, they're getting it done in a personal way. The other ones are doing it in an official way.
Yeah.
The same work may get done, but it the difference may be is that just means just like so. Okay, so we're the official. We understand.
Yeah.
You deal properly, you'll get. You don't deal properly, you don't get. So if you're pious, you'll get good things. You don't impious, you get bad. Right. Now in the personal, now it may be you just sit there, and they'll deal very personally, see to it like this, but at the same time as, you know, the other people or secretaries and that, they'll get them to do different things and run around and do all that, right? And that would be, you know, that would be still that favoring, right? Even though it's standard stuff, but he's personally seeing to it and not, okay, he always does this at 10 o'clock, but he calls the guy now and things like that. Then you see that there's a further stage where then instead of waiting for the set, he just does it himself.
Yeah.
You understand? So, even though he's Bhagawan, he deals with it the whole time. Hey, Kisarpate? Chandrabhoda. Oh, yeah, they're poisonous. Viper.
They killed it?
Yeah, basically. Then they burn it. Hey, puri jabe. Hey, puri jabe. Huh? Huh, you gotcha. You have to burn them.
What?
Snakes, because they're so connected with air. Even you do all kinds of things to them, somehow or another, by the reaction of the air, they can keep going. Because basically they're just air. You know, is it just the muscle and how they work and all that, and especially like cobras and that. And then the point—I don't know—all it's just standard for all poisons, especially cobras. That if when you kill them, the imprint of whoever killed them is on their eyes, and then their companion, then they'll come and see it. So if you burn them, then they can't do that. So that's just the way it goes. Okay, so we see that there's that difference between the in the personal dealing. So for us, then Krishna's dealing. So anybody who's surrendered, then Krishna's taking care. but he'll still do through his agencies. But then you see it comes to a point of that closeness, and that there's someone like Prahlad Maharaj or Bilva Mangal Thakur or others, Sanatana Goswami, he'll personally come and do it. Or Raghunath Das and Radhakund, or, you know, right? He'll come and personally scare away the tigers. And, right? Because otherwise, from Paramatma, he could just tell the tiger to go away. Or, you know, Maya can make the tiger go away. But he'll come personally and make the tiger go away. It's just a matter of how much affection is there. Because affection, as it gets greater and greater, then he reciprocates that. So it's still the same equality. But it's just that the greater that surrender and intimacy between the devotee and the Lord, then the greater the Lord personally gets involved. Right? So until there's that surrender and devotion, then you'll only get Brahman and Paramatma. That's the maximum you can get. Does that make sense? And then it starts going on to into the personal side. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, so here is that we see also from this run of verses that this defines that it's only through devotional service that you become completely devoid of contamination. Right? Because prayaschitta, we know, does not do that. It's like the elephant bath. So you see, devotional, that's the core thing. So devotional service is what you want to be involved in. That's actually what purifies. So that's why I was saying yesterday in the discussion that if we focus too much on purifying ourselves or giving up sin and all that and not on the devotion, it will be very hard. But if you focus on the devotion and you're giving up things that are improper due to them not being favorable for service to Krishna, that will be easier. Because then the personal dealings, that personal motive, Krishna will get involved. But if it's like you're going to control the senses and all that, then you do that. You're doing it to please Krishna, so it's a service. But you're doing it to please Krishna. So you have to do it. But when you surrender to Krishna, we can't do it and all these things because it's the modes of nature and all that. We're not in control of all that, so only he's in control of that. So by surrender to him and always trying to remember him and do things to please him, he'll remove it. That's the difference. You understand? So sometimes it's said, oh, it's so difficult. That's because we're trying to do it ourselves. And if we do it connected to Krishna, then we see it's, how you say, as in Gita says, joyfully performed. Yes.
We know that if we do simultaneously things, because the introspective sage, he has to think.
Yes.
How he reacts on whatever situation, because the greatness of the person that we had yesterday, how he reacts.
So. Oh, yes.
So we can see that these things go simultaneously. We develop the Krishna consciousness, but we also careful how we react.
That's there. But we're making the endeavor, but we are dependent on Krishna for the results. But as long as we think it's we're giving the because of my work, that's why I'm getting the results. No, it's working to please Krishna, that's why you get the results. Does that make sense? It's a slight, it won't look necessarily any different in form, but in attitude, that's where the difference is. Is that? Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference. Upon Srimad Bhagavatam 8.4.13. Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembles a crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Sarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, and the other demigods who are praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the back of his carrier, Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.46, 32. Anyone, even a person in an impure state, who absorbs his mind in him for just a moment at the time of death, burns up all traces of sinful reactions, and immediately attains the supreme transcendental destination in a pure spiritual form, as effulgent as the sun. Footnote 56. Oh, here. Srila Jiva Goswami proclaims that the jiva earnestly engrossed in the Lord, either with pure or impure mind, attains the highest aspiration, namely reuniting with the Lord in his abode. This is so, since the Lord is Bhaktavatsala. Not seeing signs of satisfaction in Nanda and Jashoda by his description, Uddhava again described the two boys with Kaimutya in two verses. The singular is you, since Krishna and Balaram are non-different, Yasmin. Any jiva who absorbs his mind without relation to the senses, for even a moment in Krishna at the time of death, immediately attains the supreme goal, right? No relation to the senses. You're just thinking of Krishna. It's just purely about Krishna. That's why Krishna says, think of him alone. You know, not this, and oh, you know, this is not so nice, or this, and you know, what about, you know, who's going to take care of this or that, or this, and you know, what about all the money? No, it's just Krishna. So when it's just about Krishna, for that moment, then one is transferred to the spiritual world. Right. Immediately attains the supreme goal. Or if he somehow or other absorbs his mind, even impure, mano avishuddham, in Krishna, he immediately attains the supreme goal, which manifests with the Lord's Sarup, Brahma Mayam, a form of Shuddha Sattva, a function of the Chit Shakti. Right? So sometimes we'll say, no, only if they're this, that, but these are our rules. They're not Krishna's rules. Krishna's rules, if you think of him, you surrender him at the time of death, right? Because at the time of death, you think of all kinds of things, right? So much. Whatever your attachments, whatever you think will save you, whatever was the most, go-to, whatever it is, emotions or some scars or things like that. It's anything of this wide range of the material world. But if you just think of Krishna, it doesn't matter what the back thing, that's special. So this thing is, no, it's all dependent upon them doing this and that and so on. We make those rules. Krishna doesn't. You surrender to him, you get there. But the point is you will start in bhakti wherever you are. You'll be in the spiritual world, you'll be in your spiritual body, but we have to remember, we're starting from that platform of neutrality. Right? So Brahma Bhuta means we're liberated. But how much devotion you actually have, that's where you'll start. That's not going to change. Just because you took shelter of Krishna, then you'll generate the spiritual, through his Chit Shakti, then the spiritual form will be created. Or let's say, how you say, you'll get back to that original form. Right? So there's no problem there. Then from there, you have to actually progress. But now, it'll be easier. You don't have all the sins and everything of previous life. So now you just progress forward. You'll take better advantage of the association and you'll do proper things and all that. But still, you have to move forward and develop prema. There has to be that endeavor, that desire. So it's not that, because we'll just say, oh, when you go there, then everyone's on the same level. No, you have to get to that place. Right? Does that make sense? So we can see Gopal Kumar, when he went, he had already developed that relationship with Krishna. So then Krishna immediately is coming as soon as he arrives. But if you don't have that affection, that natural position like that, then you're going to start from wherever you are. And then through association of the spiritual personalities there, then you'll start moving forward. Does it make sense? Yeah. So therefore, whether it's pure or impure, but the problem is even you're in an impure state, but you remember Krishna is there, but you have to be trying to remember Krishna. That's why the practice is about remembering Krishna. Even if you haven't purified yourself completely, but you're endeavoring, then things should work out. But if one thinks, oh, it doesn't matter, I can be in an impure state and remember Krishna, but if you are committed to an impure state, why would you remember Krishna? Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's no loophole here.
Yes.
There's just Krishna's mercy. He attains a spiritual body as an associate of the Lord. He does not attain something which disappears like objects made of matter. He becomes effulgent like the sun, self-illuminating, and with the ability to illuminate others. Similarly, the Lord is described in the same way. Aditya varanam tamasaf parastat. He is beyond Prakriti, self-effulgent. Svetasvatara Upanishad. Krishna is the root form or revealer of all atmas. All forms of the Lord and all jivas. Akhilatma hetau. The cause is Narayan. Does he have four arms? He is Brahman, Karana, in human form, Martya, Murtau. You manifest Anuraga, Bhavam, to him, to the highest degree, Nityaram, more than Vasudeva and Devaki. O great soul, you have the highest nature, since you possess such Anuraga. The word Va indicates a movement of his eyebrows. What remains for you to do, you too to do? Everything is perfect. It only remains for Krishna to satisfy you. Svakritam is an alternative version. So he's the one that reveals all these different positions. His form, your form, all these things. It's all arranged by Krishna. It's not that you can do something and that. People say, oh, well, I'll think of this and I'll get that form and I'll do this. It's not. That's not how it works. Like that. It's about consciousness. You have the consciousness. Right? It's just like this. Let us say, okay, you want to make something bespoke. Okay? So let's say we're going to make one of those $12 million bespoke Rolls Royces. Okay? Don't like Rolls Royce? Maybach better?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we'll go with the Maybach. So now, you can go in, they have like about two million different options you can do and what you put together and all that. So, is that what's going to make the car? You going there, sitting down with them, going through all the different things, deciding on this door, that, this thing, this color, this wood, this paneling, this, you know, all that kind of stuff. Is that what's actually going to make it happen? No. One, the place is going to make it, not you. And what's going to be the qualification that they will make it? You got the money. Right? So, that's why Sahaja is talking this, talking that. They don't have the money. So they can talk all day. It doesn't matter. They'll even argue amongst themselves. Oh, you get that. That's stupid. I would do this. But they neither have the money. So the point is we see is that Lord Nityananda in the marketplace of the holy name, he's giving the name out for a price. Right? It's not free. But the price is surrender. So if you surrender, then you get, you know, the pure name. So that's the thing. Everybody can get the name, but the pure name, that you have to pay. Yes.
Right. Some devotees are in anxiety is that they will become something if it's already there that they don't want to be. So no, how is going to happen?
But how can there be something in the spiritual world that's not nice? That's the first thing. It's just like this. Let us say you go into a, if I say it right, Louis Vuitton bag shop. Huh? I'm just saying about the pronunciation.
Okay, yes.
The bags I'll ask her, but the pronunciation I'm asking you.
Okay.
So, is there any way you could go wrong?
No.
It's all good. So you don't have to worry. This whole thing of what, because all it is their independence. No, but I want to choose this and that. What, you know, something's forced upon me. That you've come here from a position that you're already in. You're already in your natural position. You don't take advantage of it. You come here. So going back to that, what's the problem? That would be like, let's say you're from Bengal over here, right? And then somehow or another you end up over in Punjab, where you don't eat white rice unless you're deathly ill. You just don't eat it. Right? They only eat chapatis. If they do eat rice, they got to fry it up and do something with it. Right? And so then you're over there for some time. Then finally you get and come back here. Are you going to have a problem with rice?
No.
No. And if you say, no, but I've gotten used to chapatis, then that's mundane. You understand? So this whole you're falling from your natural position. But you just didn't take advantage. You're there, but you don't care. And then you end up here. And then when you purify yourself, you go back there. So it's not going to be different. As you surrender to Krishna, you think Krishna's not going to inspire you and reveal what is natural for you? Krishna's going to get you to think like this, but actually you want to be that over there? So in other words, what one has to surrender that other, we're trying to keep the control ourselves. What about Krishna's internal potencies, his associates? You know, they're not looking after the benefit of the individual souls. Right? Why would the Sarup Shakti that you're part of, why wouldn't they want you in your best place? So this whole thing is, you know, can I pick and choose? Is, you know, it's like a, you know, Amazon or something, you know, like that. So it's, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Amazon, but you also have to watch out for the guys with those little blowguns and stuff, you know. So, we're good?
Because it's already given by Mahaprabhu in general and in specifics, so we just have to accept both.
Yeah, and the point is then find details. It's, you'll be part of that process of it being revealed and you appreciating it. Right? That will naturally happen, but the point is the reason that we're in anxiety because we're too impure to appreciate the transcendental position. Because we think, no, unless I independently am in control of it, it won't be nice. So that's an impurity. So the point is, as they get purified, then these things won't be an issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if you, as a regular thing, you're always moving in 5-star hotels. Okay? Good class today, right? Louis Vuitton, 5-star hotels.
We're getting there,
right there, yeah. Oh, yeah, also the bespoke Rolls Royce. Yeah, it's all happening today. So when you check in at the reception, do you have to be in anxiety if there's going to be like a blanket or pillows or any of that kind of stuff? No. So why? Because you're on that level. You're not worried about it. Now, what happens if you're checking into one of those cockroach hotels?
Yes.
Then you might even just want to, you know, is there anything in the room other than cockroaches? Or, you know, how big are the cockroaches? Can you at least, you know, ride them around or something? Or, you know, can you save gas, take them to town and back? Or, you know, you understand? So that's the thing, is as we're more contaminated, then we're worried about these things when one's not on the level to worry about them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah? Good? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-18. My dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. Right? In other words, sense gratification will not defeat his determination in devotional service. Right? Doesn't mean it's not a distraction and an annoyance or an impurity, but one will keep progressing forward. Now, once that's removed, it'll be quicker. Does that make sense? But the point is that being fixed, unflinching devotion, it will always move forward. Right? So that's why we have to be looking at that primary aspect. If that's there, then the secondary, then you can make adjustments. Right? Does that make sense? Or accommodation. But if we see that that's not there, then you'll take it that they're identifying with the spiritual platform, and you can see that by their mood, their attitude, and all that. Then if there's some weakness of impurity, that's not taken so seriously. It means you try to avoid it and, you know, take proper steps that it's, you know, corrected. But that's not the main thing, right? So you don't put so much emphasis on that. But now if someone is not so much on inflinching devotion, they're more focused on the material and all that, and they have these material desires, then you know that's going to be a major area. that has to be given, therefore, more attention.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's why for those who are situated nicely, there's no prayaschitta. Right? Does that make sense? Now, for anyone else, even they're not devotional, the prayaschitta doesn't work anyway, but it makes everybody feel good. That's why it's there. If I'm going to commit myself to this social, you know, norm that's going on, I have to be, how you say, confident of the element of justice that whatever I've worked hard for in karma, in my gain and safety, that it will be protected and no one else will take it. So if someone else is taking someone's things, then they have to be punished because it could be my stuff. Then I feel safe because of material attachment. Right? And administration does that anyway. It takes care of these things. But the point is, when it's about Krishna, then Krishna will take care. We do our duties to do whatever we should do to take care. But if it's supposed to be there, it will be. And if it's not, it won't. There's nothing we can do about it. Does that make sense? So whether we're materially attached or not, that doesn't make a difference on whether you're going to have it or not. Does that make sense? If it's supposed to go, there's nothing you can do to stop that. Like that. Yes.
Some may argue that the example with prayaschitta is the same, like saying, you know, the prison system doesn't work. But practically, we see for some people it doesn't work, for some it actually purifies them.
I think it's about 98% or 97%. This is an older statistic. I don't know of today. This statistic goes back some time. That something like, I think it was like 96, 97%. Or maybe even up to 98% of those in the prison or in the penal system felt that they didn't belong there. They've done nothing actually wrong. So the amount that it may be working on is that. But the point is it's still, that's how karma works. You've done something wrong, you have to be punished. Right? So for their mentality, because they identify with it, for others, because they identify with it, because, and also, they'll just create a disturbance in society if they're not in the prison system. But saying that they're going to, by being in prison, they're going to develop pure devotion, that's not, there's no guarantee of that. Like, I only know of one person that I think either they became a devotee, then ended up in jail immediately, or something. And so they were in jail for a year, and nothing else to do. They were chanting 64 rounds a day for the whole year. Then they came out, and they were doing quite nice, preaching and everything. But the point is it's the system, so it is there. But just because it doesn't work doesn't mean that it's not there. But we're talking within the devotional circle, there's no meaning to having punishments that are based on the moralistic concept. Because they won't purify anybody. They'll only make moralists satisfied. And you can't satisfy moralists, so it's a waste of time. So the point is what is best for devotional service? What situation? Now, if the situation they're in by, you know, some discussions or this or that or some monitoring, that same situation, if they can now move forward and be Krishna conscious, they can remain there. If that situation is going to be too distracting and all that, okay, what situation would be good for their Krishna consciousness? So that, you know, the principles of association and practice are there. So maybe they have to go to another temple or zone or something like that for some time, and that will work. And so they get good association. Prabhupada would sometimes just take Sinyamin with him when he'd travel for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, like that. And then they go back to that service or, you know, a comparable service where it was needed. You know, or it was also, for those who are a little farther down the totem pole, then they would go to Padayatra. You know, 6 months on Padayatra, Harinam every day, that nice association, that simple living and all that, away from, you know, whatever it is that they were used to, then they would become very strong. So it's a matter of what is good for the Krishna consciousness. That's the actual point. But if it's a matter of, no, they have to punish, they can't do this, can't do that, and why not? Well, no one else will like that. Then we're talking about mundane consciousness. We're talking about the community has that view, then it's mundane. Right? Now, someone is dangerous to the community, that's another thing. That's the administration is supposed to take care of that. But if it's just that, because they've done something, that whatever they've done is not going to affect you, but just because they've done something that's not up to what your personal standards of morality are, then there must be something done for that, and only then can devotional service move forward. That's purely mundane. It's not spiritual or philosophical or shastric at all. It means that you can say, are they basing it on Manu? No, they'll base it on whatever's their contemporary society. Now, if they're basing it on Manu and all that, then we don't really have much to say. Because Manu, that's why it has it. Those who are moralistic but based on Shastra, something goes wrong, they want it to go that way because they have that faith in Shastra, it has to go that way. But how many of those are there? I can remember actually two people in 40 years in India that they had the right to take that position and argue it. You know, straight their background, what they are, what they were saying was completely correct according to Shastra. But we're not materialists. So therefore, then they have to also move beyond their attachment to the, you know, elements of karma and all that, though it's Shastra and correct, if by a different situation, then they would move forward in the devotional service. Does that make sense? But that's been two people, literally. You know, that they come from a Shastric background. You know, you could say good grade, high grade Brahmins, practicing Brahmins, following their occupation according to Brahminical things, have that background and knowledge in the Shastras, and then they're complaining that, no, Manu says this. Mm-hmm. And they're quoting Manu. They're not. That's the. No. I'm talking about they know what they're talking about. It's not that they're just saying that because it comes to mind. But I've had people that quote stuff like that, and their lifestyle and other things were in no way comparable. But I'm saying these two people. If anybody could, they could complain. But we're dealing with where it's about pure goodness. Does that work? Yeah. Point is devotional service is beyond mundane morality. So therefore, morality is for pleasing Krishna. So the reason there's rules and the mode of goodness, what you do, is that's what's pleasing to those. That's the medium Krishna likes to be pleased with. You know, it's just like, an offering of food. So it's the devotion, not the food. But that doesn't mean that there's not a preferred food. Right? You know, it's just like, you want to spend some time with a really good friend, you haven't seen them in a long time, and like this and that, so it's natural, you know, it's time to eat, so you go eat something. So it's not about the food. It's about the interaction. But it's not that you don't have a place that you'd like to go. So in the same way, it's not about these secondary things for Krishna, but it's not that Krishna doesn't have his preference in the secondary. Since the secondary is managed by Balaram, who is him, you know, and bigger, you know, the situational things by, or the, you know, the basis of that by Vasudev, who is him. So therefore, all these things that are recommended in the mode of goodness, they're all Krishna. And it's what Krishna arranges for himself. Right? You know, so I said, you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself. You know, so Krishna just expands, says Balaram, and does it himself. Yeah. Is that, we're good?
Maharaj, here, the unflinching devotion.
Unflinching devotion, yeah. Means that if you're standing there and you're thinking of Krishna, and somebody goes like this, then you don't flinch. Yeah.
Maharaj, practically for us, the sadhikas, what it means, like unflinching devotion.
Means it's always about Krishna. You have no doubt in devotional service and in Krishna and, you know, chanting and all these things. It's not saying unflinching devotion necessarily means that you are, how do you say? You're, it doesn't mean you're situated, you don't have to be on the Uttama platform. Like that. It means you don't have, you have complete faith that devotional service is the process, is the method, is all these things. Not that something else will make it good. There's no mundane things that will make devotional service better. It may make it easier to perform, but it's not that that itself is important. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you can go outside and get on the bus outside the front gate and get to Calcutta. Right? You know, or you could go to Krishnagar and get on one of the local trains there. Right? Or you could go a little later and go, I think it's 10 o'clock, to Bhagirathi. And that, and get a seat, actually, that you can actually sit in. But the point is, you can get to Calcutta, just that's a little easier. You know what I'm saying? So the recommended things in Shastra is just easier. But the point is you're not dependent upon that. You're going to serve anyway. That's the unflinching devotion. That's why it says unflinching. That means so one's steady in devotional service. There's no doubts. There's no doubts, well, this work or the name or process or, you know, what about, you know, like that. No, you have faith. Like that. Okay, so, footnote 57. The BBT purport explains that slight divergence in other systems of self-realization results in fall down, but perseverance in bhakti promises no fall down for the sadhaka. Abhibhuyate indicates falling down into the material world. Just wondering if that has something. Abhibhuyate, and then they say booyah. Yeah, it means you're in the material world. That's that's the way it goes. Right? And being defeated by Maya. But even though one's senses are not fully conquered, one who has unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna does not run the risk of being separated from him. The words pragalbhaya bhaktya indicate a person who has great devotion for Lord Krishna and not one who desires to commit sinful activities. Right? He doesn't desire to, though by habit he may be. Right? There's a difference. One who thinks it's all right, that's a problem. That's not what we're talking about. One who understands it's not, doesn't want to be involved, but by habit may still be. Right? And not, okay, so it's the words, they indicate a person who has great devotion for Lord Krishna, not one who desires to commit sinful activities and chant Hare Krishna to avoid the reaction. Because of previous bad habits and immaturity, even a sincere devotee may be harassed by lingering attraction to the bodily concept of life. But his unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna will act. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following two examples. A great warrior may be struck by the weapon of his enemy, but because of his courage and strength, he is not killed or defeated. He accepts the blow and goes on to victory. Similarly, one may contract a serious disease, but if he takes the proper medicine, he is quickly cured. Right? So that's the point, is that one may have the disease, but you take the medicine. If you're not interested in the medicine, don't have faith in the medicine like this, then what's going to happen? Right? If those who follow the impersonal system of speculation and austerity deviate even slightly from the path, they fall down. Right? It means the devotees, it'll be a distraction in the devotional service, but they won't fall away from devotional service. But the deviation in these other mundane systems, they will fall down. Even if he displays devotee, however, even though immature, never falls from the path of devotional service. Even if he displays occasional weakness, he is still considered a devotee if his devotion to Lord Krishna is very strong. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Api chait sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva samantavya samyag yavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Right? Situated means he's situated in devotional service. He's situated in the understanding, that faith in that desire to be involved in. That's properly situated. Right? Does that make sense? So it becomes very clear. Now if we use our how you say, our moralistic word juggler here, then you go, if he's engaged in devotional service, what he did is not devotional service, so he's not engaged, so he's not saintly. Right?
So Maharaj, can we say that properly situated means unflinching faith?
Yes.
Is the equivalent?
That's the point. Proper association, proper, like this, that's properly situated. So the point is because he's chanting the holy name, because he's associated with devotees, he's following the process of devotees, devotional service, he's properly situated.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Now, one may make mistakes because of past habits, but the point is he's properly situated. But if we say, no, he's done this, so devotional service doesn't matter, so we're saying holy name, the association of devotees, you know, the temple, the dham, the festival, the deities, none of that has any real meaning because it's all about morality. So that's why it means morality means it's what you should be avoiding. But the point is what's the reason you should be avoiding it? Does that make sense?
Because it's not connected. It's not always connected to Krishna.
It's not. Yes, because in that it becomes a problem that you become distracted from Krishna. Okay. So if that's the reason, that's why we avoid it. So then, how do you do? You put yourself in a situation where you don't have those distractions.
Yes.
In association that won't.
Yes.
Now, if we just take it, no, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? Then that's going to be the. Then it's about mundane morality. It's not about it's connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So someone's not so strict in their eating. Then depending, if we're a food freak, then that, or into the rules, then we may be disturbed. Right? And if someone gets involved in some gambling and all that, but it's their own money, then, you know, it's not good. We're not going to make a big scene out of it. Intoxication will, you know, raise a few bit of eyebrows, but we won't take it as seriously. But if it's an illicit sex, then, you know, pull out, you know, what is it? Fat man and big boy. You know? Two bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Right? So then do we go nuclear? Because sex is so important to us. You know what I'm saying? Because the meat eating, you got to feed yourself. Okay, they like it, not, you know, you don't do it there. Okay, that goes. You know, intoxication, that's not so important anyway. Gambling's not so important. But sex, hey. You know? So therefore, it becomes really, really, really. You know, but it's because of that. It's not because it's a distraction from devotional service. It's because it's wrong in itself.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody misbehaved as a manager, it's wrong in itself. Why? Because we have issues with management, with authority. You know, does that make sense? So it does. It's not based on the spiritual principle. That's what we're saying. We're not saying that it's right. We're saying is that what's the intent and motive behind being so worried about morality? Being worried about morality is not the problem at all. That's good. Morality means what you should avoid. Right? Ethics means what you should do. He's ethical, means because he does what he should. He's moral, he doesn't do things he shouldn't. You understand? So, but most people don't talk about ethics, they talk about morality. Because that's a little easier to point out. Ethics, you have to have standards, right? So, what's the motive behind being moralistic? Is it actually about pleasing Krishna, based on scriptures and the authority of the acharyas? You know, so therefore, the lifestyle and mode of goodness, which is the topic of discussion, right? Is that what it is? Or it's because in my social background and upbringing and my determination, this is wrong? So who's the authority? Myself or the scriptures?
Myself.
Yeah. So when it's myself, it's just mundane. Even if it's the scriptures, but your purpose is karma or jnana, it's still mundane. But at least it has authority and it has that situation and goodness. Like I mentioned, those two devotees that I knew, they could talk from that platform because they had a lifestyle, they would live goodness in that whether they were devotees or not. So in other words, they were doing all the things we were doing before they met the devotees. Right? So
that's very rare, Maharaj.
It's very rare. I said two I've met. That have complained. I've met more people than that with that qualification. But I can only remember two jumping up and down about somebody's behavior. Might have been about the same person. You know, they had no connect. They both were connected to that person, but they had no connection to each other. Yeah. Okay. Does this make sense? This is what we're talking. This is when we're splitting hairs here. It's about what's pure devotion and what's not. So being so committed to morality, but it's not about pure devotion, it itself is a distraction from devotional service. It will keep you, it will slow down your bhakti. So one's complaining, this person's not behaving in a moral way, but your attachment to that seeming so-called morality is also a deviation from devotional service. And you can't say it's a mode of goodness because is it based on shastra? And if you say, yeah, the shastra supports it, like, you know, Madhu said, you know, fingers should be cut off. But the point is do you care about that shastra? Do you live that shastra? Or is it that you just want something to happen and shastra happens to support your mood? And if shastra didn't support your mood, you wouldn't be interested. Because the shastra also in the next verse says something else that you don't want to follow. Oh, we're devotees, we don't care for the rules. But he did this. Yeah, Manu says this. You know, oh, what about that? Oh, we don't care for the rules. And, so we're not talking about that kind of thing. So, are we all good on this?
It's like the logic of half him, what I like.
Yes, it's the logic of the half him. We just take part that supports what we like, and that. But the basis is what we like. That's the problem in the modern. It's all about the feelings and that. We're about rag bhakti. About feelings, but it's natural spontaneous affection and attraction to Krishna, not natural spontaneous attraction to mundane social, you know, ideals. You know, political, economic ideals. Does that make sense? You know. The ideal means what everybody else should follow, so I'll be comfortable and then inspired. I don't have to follow it. I would like to follow it, but you know, as we're discussing here, by bad habit, I may have some bad habits. But everybody else has to be squeaky clean and do everything perfect. Otherwise, you know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11-48. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And thus, if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. Right? You can only get out of the material world by surrendering to Krishna, by Krishna's grace. So if you're not situating devotional service, not associating with the devotees, then there is no effective means for getting out. There just isn't. All the other paths of karma and jnana will not get you out. You know, you can move yourself around the universe to better or worse positions, but you will not get out. Does that make sense? Yeah. Adhikarana 17. Endowment with all qualities. Sarva dharmopa patya dikaranam. Sutra reference 2137. Adhikarana Prakashika. This Adhikarana further glorifies the Lord's qualities. The Supreme Lord harmonizes all contradictory qualities within Himself. Hence, His partiality is therefore His impartiality. Or His partiality is therefore His impartiality. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's just part of Him. It's His natural way of doing things. Mm-hmm. Summary of Adhikarana 17. Srila Vyasadeva concludes first pada of the second adhyaya with the following sutra, Sutra 2137. Sarva dharmo papattescha. Sarva, all. Dharma, qualities, upapattehe. Because of the reasonableness, cha, and. The Lord favors the devotee because the Lord is endowed with all good qualities. Right? So the devotee performing with good quality, then he's like that. It naturally goes. He has good qualities. He naturally reciprocates with those who, you know, I say, are behaving in an appropriate way. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar mentions the Lord to own equal contradictory and non-contradictory qualities. Hence, his kindness to the devotees is no error on his part. Sri Govinda Bhasya, Siddhanta. The wise acknowledge the quality of favoritism to the devotee, because the Lord, with inconceivable sarup, is endowed, upapattehe, with all contrary and non-contrary qualities. What was it? Upapattehe?
Reasonable,
okay. Similarly, the Lord is jnana itself, and the possessor of knowledge. He is colorless, but blackish, and though equal, has great affection for his devotees. Thus, contrary qualities and non-contrary qualities, like tolerance and honesty, exist in the Lord, right? Tolerance and honesty go together.
Yes.
Right? The Smriti says, Aishwarya yogat bhagavan virudharto bhidhiyate tatapi doshaf parame naiva haraya katanchana guna virudha apyate samaharayas samantaha. By his powers, the Lord is said to have contrary qualities. Thus one cannot find fault in the Lord at all. We can say it's contradictory, but it's inherent in him, these contradictions. So for him, it's not a fault. It's his natural position. That's what he said before. It's his natural qualities. So from Kurma Purana. Though contrary qualities exist in there, they are all to be accepted, not just which ones you like. Because that's the problem. When we see this, that's how you see his mundane morality, because they'll accept certain qualities of Krishna and not others, and certain aspects of devotional service and not others, and certain parts of the philosophy and not others, certain part of the culture and not others. Right? Whatever supports their morality, then they'll accept that. What doesn't, then that will not be accepted. Then we'll use the philosophy to not accept them. Right? You know, we're devotees, we don't care for rules, or, you know, time, place, and circumstance, or we have to be practical, or all these things will be used to not follow. And then the areas where they think should be followed, none of those apply. None of those sutras, those, how you say, Mahavakyas apply. Yeah. No, that's it. So modern Mahavakyas.
Can you say that? Like says, can say the contrary qualities in Krishna, we need to just to accept as is, and also to open the mind to be open to something new.
Yes, that's the whole idea of vichar. Vichar means studying something from different angles, and those different angles may be contradictory.
Yes,
like that. Because if there's no contradiction, then means something's exactly the same. Right? If it's exactly the same, then why would there be two? There'd only be one. Right? So, then, you know, how many right shoes do you need? Right? No, you need the right and the left. Right? You know? Like that. So even, let's say, Charlie Chaplin, who, you know, had those huge shoes, how did he keep those on? Right? He put them on the opposite foot, the right one on the left on the right. So because of the twist, it'll stay on his foot. Right? But the point is, it's still a right and left shoe. They're opposites.
Yes.
But if I give you two right shoes or two left shoes, then, you know, what's the point? Mm-hmm. So the thing is as one, he's Atmarama. But when he expands this energy, that means there's difference. It's seemingly contradictory. That's where variety comes from. Otherwise, if there's no seeming contradiction, you don't have these contradictory qualities, you don't have variety. So generally, who is not appreciating the contradiction? Right? Those who are impersonalists. Or at least not personalists. Right? So they have problems with it. Those who are personal, they can understand that there'll be contradiction. Does that make sense? But it has its appropriate application. It's not that the contradiction is applied just anywhere whimsically. No, it has its specific application. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then these contradictions go together, but in certain situations. Then the rasa is there, because contradictions are only there to bring out rasa. Right? And reconciling these contradictions, that's what then gives the taste. The taste of the, you know, gives a reason for action, it gives a situation, it gives a reason for action, an endeavor for a result, and a taste. So in other words, there has to be these, otherwise there is no personal. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it's just the way it is. It's inherent in him, so there's no problem. It's his quality. So that's why achinta beta beta tato, we can deal with this the easiest. Right? Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.36. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Right? One is they're unlimited. They're inconceivable. But two, all these if you have unlimited qualities, there's going to be contradictions there. Because of all qualities, then so therefore it's inconceivable. How all these qualities, right? Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is exactly right. Their arguments are always false, and their judgments inconclusive because they have no authorized evidence from with which to gain knowledge of you. Right? So it's their mind that is the authority. That's the whole point. Only if someone means, yeah. So you have those that is just the mind. So whatever they feel. Then there's who are willing to cooperatively work with others. And we'll cooperate, and we'll all have a common goal of, you know, developing society and science and economics and that, so we can all enjoy. Right? But it still goes back to, I'm committing myself to this because I will get enjoyment out of it. But if we cooperate, we'll all get more. You know, as an individual, I'll get more. And if we work together, we can produce more than one person having to do everything. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so someone can cook lunch and someone can be out in the field.
Yes.
Like that. You'll get more done than if you go out in the field, then come back and cook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You understand? So, therefore, more happens, more gets done. Mm-hmm. So that's the cooperation. And so I'll get more. Then you have that those who are willing to follow the Vedic rules. But because they'll get karma or jnana from that. They'll get fruit of benefits or liberation, but they're willing to follow that. So you see, it's not directly what they feel, or the expanded combined form of what we feel. You know, it's what I feel, what we feel, or what Shastra says. But I'm committing myself because the benefit I'll get. So it's only devotees are actually surrendered. That is that it doesn't have any other purpose. It's just about pleasing Krishna. So, yeah. Because.
These levels are the which told us the pranamaya, manomaya.
Yes, yes, and we mentioned all four of them, and then the devotees. That's the fifth. Because when you say karma, you mean manomaya. You say jnana, you mean vijnanamaya. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Right, because we see before, as there were conclusions in these scriptures written by these various authorities, and the conclusion is that much of the material, the mechanical material they have is correct, but their conclusions of what to do with it, that's wrong. Like, let's say we have a first class kitchen and first class ingredients and a bad cook. Is there something wrong with the kitchen? The ingredients, the menu, the techniques of cooking that you would use to get that? No, they just have the wrong conclusions or what menu they make out of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the follow-up. So that's why the elements of the mechanics of yoga, the mechanics of Shankhya, the mechanics of Nyaya, then they're standard things. Everybody uses that, but their conclusions are wrong. And you can see is that when it comes down between the conclusions of these scriptures and the book that their acharya has written, if there's any contradiction, their book is right. You know, at the expense of everything else. So that's where the problem. Well, you see then, if it's in the Vaishnava line, there's no contradiction in the line. And if there is, then you can understand that there's a problem in us. Right? Does that make sense? Because the others may be opta in the way that they're they have some realization in that in the practice of the scriptures within the mode of goodness. But they don't have understanding of pure goodness. So without pure goodness, as Krishna mentioned before, there is no process to get out of the material world. But we see for those who are in the line of pure goodness, then it's a matter of, if we don't understand it, it's because of our weakness. Yeah? Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you. Right? Polluted eagerness to arrive. They just want to be right. Like, I remember going to one eye doctor. The regular guy wasn't there, but his teacher was there, or his guru was there. You know, much older and all that. When he came in, one of the first things he says is, you know, I'm older now and all that, so I'm not actually worried about what people will say. I'm just worried about being right. Yeah, so he was one of those scary doctors. Yeah. Okay. Their theories, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in you, contradictions are like doing and not doing. Happiness and distress are not contrary, because he can not do and do at the same time. He's sitting in Braj, just enjoying with the Braj Basis, at the same time doing nothing, and at the same time he's creating and controlling the whole creation. So for him, they're not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you, since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Right? Does that make sense? So this is just his constitutional position. Footnote 58. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur brilliantly delineates the apparently contrast qualities of the Lord in the form of logical dialogue exchanged between the Supreme Lord and the Devatas. This verse reconciles the contrary nature in the Lord. That was, what was that? Six canto. Okay, this verse reconciles the contrary nature in the Lord according to the devotee's perspective. Virodha means contradiction. There is no contradiction of your being Atmarama and experiencing happiness and distress. It is not proper to speculate about you by comparison with others, right? Since there's no one to compare him to, he's one without a second, you can't compare, right? Since you possess inconceivable powers, it's not proper to speculate about you by comparison with others, since you possess inconceivable powers. First, two phrases explain the happiness and distress in the Lord. Jnana, Shakti, Balaishwarya, Virya, Tejam, Shasheshata. Bhagavat, Shabda, Vachyani, Bina, Hener, Gunadibihi. The word Bhagavan means to be endowed with unlimited knowledge, sense power, bodily strength, power of control, influence, and beauty without inferior qualities. Vishnu Purana 6.5.79. It should be understood that you have no material happiness and distress at all, which arises from ignorance, since you are fully endowed with these six qualities. Right? So there's no ignorance. So the happiness and distress we talk about comes from this ignorance. He doesn't have any of that. It's one of his shaktis, but he's not controlled by it. The Supreme Lord asks, do I have another type of happiness and distress in me? The demigods reply, you have a host of unlimited qualities, such as being controlled by prema and being affectionate to your devotees. Apari, mita, guna, gane. When your devotees, such as Pallad or Vibhishana, your eternal associates, such as the Pandavas or Yadavas, the numerous sadhakas and half-devotees like the Devatas, are put into difficulty by the demons. Yeah, half-devotees. So, so point is, they're devotees, but they're not full. Because pure devotee, now that's a full devotee. Otherwise, what's an aspiring full devotee? So, you know, how's it going? You know, so what's your position? I'm an aspiring full devotee. Well, it means half. It means that they're situated in goodness. So if we add a little, go down, yeah. You become... Okay, when any of these associates and all that become put into difficulty by the demons, you become unhappy, indicated by your various attempts to destroy those demons. When those devotees, delivered from danger, see you, they become happy, like grains suffering from drought being sprinkled with a shower of nectar. Then you become astonishingly happy. You have spiritual happiness and distress, since you are the essence of affection for devotees and are controlled by prema. However, that happiness and distress are actually spiritual happiness. And since they are the topmost transformations of the chit-shakti belonging to prema. And so it's all just transformations within prema. So it's all on the transcendental platform. There's nothing mundane. The problem is when it's not connected to Krishna, that's where the problem with these contradictions and all that come in. But when it's connected to Krishna, it's all transcendental. Where's the problem? There's nothing, right? However, that happiness and distress are actually spiritual. Okay. The joy and grief of the gopis or Sita arising from meeting and separation are the highest expression of happiness, since they have the highest level of prema. Having a spiritual form, you have spiritual happiness and distress. This is not a contradiction with your nature as Atmarama, since being Atmarama and experiencing spiritual happiness and distress are one in you. The Supreme Lord asks, but I am not defined in this way by some philosophers. The demigods reply, you are the Supreme Lord, Ishware, and thus those who are under your control are not qualified to define you, since your glories cannot be understood by persons devoid of bhakti. You yourself say, bhaktyaham ekaya grahyam, I am only realized by bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. The Supreme Lord asks, they raise many objections to claim that my six great qualities in prema are spiritual. The demigods reply, you are invisible, means... they raise many objections to... probably to the claim. Yeah. That my six great quality. Okay. The demigods replied, you are invisible to the arguments of those who stubbornly hold various philosophies. Dura vagraha vadinam, which always remain in their hearts, which are confused by scriptures, and without touching the real truth, arvachina. The kalpa takes the form, it may be like this or like that, right? Because the mind is kalpa, vikalpa. It may be this, maybe that, all these different things the mind's doing. So, the scriptures give a conclusion, you have that conclusion, you see all others in relation to that. So if it seems different, then you contemplate, you study, you know, by the Lord's grace, then one can understand all these things. Since they all match in him anyway. But if not, then all these different scriptural references that appear to be different, contradictory, then simply confuse more. So they become more speculative. So the more they study, the more they speculate. Right? Vitarka means uncertain conjecture. Is that correct perhaps? Vichar means certainly. It is like this. Pramana bhasha means malicious arguments. Right? So someone just argues just to win the argument. It means it may be logically correct, but how they're going about it or what they're basing it on is wrong. If there's no conclusion, how can argumentation be absent? The Lord is devoid of all material objects, since arguments are a product of Maya Shakti. And you are beyond all objects made of Maya. How is it possible to use arguments? Such arguments, right? Because he's beyond all this. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.